Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Your loved ones of Charlotte, especially the kids, grown and family, loved by God, loved all. We're going to meditate today on some verses from John chapter 11. And just talk about some questions that times like this bring up for us. This is from John chapter 11. I'll read verses 17 through 27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Dear loved ones, when someone who is fairly young dies, people tend to ask, why so soon? When an elderly widow passes away, people tend to ask, why so long? And dear Charlotte, since almost 5 years ago, ever since the Lord called Gus home, has been asking, why so long? Why, Lord? Asking with the psalmist. You find it all over in the Psalms in the Old Testament. Lord, why so long? How long, O Lord? How long? Save me, deliver me. If you know the Lord, you ask those questions. Because there are just times when the road gets long and lonely and difficult. And even though you're a believer, the questions come. And so does the comfort. So does the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. How long, O Lord, how long? I know there are many in this room, myself included, who are blessed to be married to your soulmate. Someone that, it's amazing, it's a gift, it's a blessing, it's a wonderful blessing of God, marriage between a man and a woman as God has given it to us. But none of us can say to our soulmate, I died for you, I rose again for you. None of us can say to the one we love, I am your good shepherd. But we know the one who says that to his sheep. In fact, you may even realize that right before John chapter 11 is chapter 10. Do the math, even pastors can figure that out. Chapter 10 is the Good Shepherd chapter, where Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. He says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He says, they will not follow the voice of another shepherd. Some of the family members may remember my telling about a little lesson with Charlotte a few weeks ago on that score. You know, Charlotte wanted to keep things real. Reminds me of potatoes. Hey, Wayne? You wonder why the spuds are out there. Wayne explained to me that Charlotte liked real potatoes. was really happy that she got someplace with real potatoes. So a big spud and a little spud, it's good for the day. She liked to keep it real. A few weeks ago when I went to visit her, she didn't realize who I was right away, and she did not like me sitting down and telling her I was a pastor. She kept telling me to go get her pastor. And she was thirsty. She wanted some water. So I brought in one of the nurse's aides. As soon as I came back and he had some water, then I was her pastor. But it wasn't really me she wanted. She wanted her best friend. Did you bring Lord's Supper? She wanted that special supper of our dear Lord, where he comes to us so beautifully, so presently, in his body and blood, miraculously. This is my body, this is my blood, I am with you always. Wherever there are people, there's wine and there's bread. And our dear Lord Jesus found a way to be with his people at all times and in all places. Even where two or three come together in his name, he's right there in the midst of them. And that is what she wanted. She wanted the Holy Supper. So we celebrated her best and truest friend, because the Good Shepherd says, I know my sheep know me, and I prepared a place for them. They're in my hand, they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And that is part of the family legacy that you have. This perseverance that we have from our Lord Jesus Christ. Another question that comes to mind at a time like this, I guess the hospice workers were asking, where does she get that spunk? If you could run the tapes back to when Charlotte was a little girl, I'll bet you she was a fireball, just full of life and spunk. Maybe some of you knew her back then, true? I can just imagine. My older daughter is like that. She's had that fire, that spark ever since she was little. So I just, for fun, ask the three siblings, which of you got your mother's spunk? You guys all looked at each other. Well, you didn't raise your hand then. But it's true. There's something there in the family legacy that's a spark and a fire. And it's the reason why we just don't give up, even when we're saying, how long, O Lord, how long? When we're wondering about the Lord's timing. That's why these words are so precious. When Jesus comes to a dear family that he loved so much, Mary and her sister Martha and their brother Lazarus had sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. He was across the Jordan River in what's called his Perean ministry. He gets the word, and Jesus waits a while. He actually said to his disciples, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. So he waits a little while. Then he tells them, it's time to go because Lazarus is asleep and we need to go wake him up. And his disciples say, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. You don't want to wake him up. And then Jesus very plainly tells them, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I was glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Jesus talks so strange. You got to read these words and follow him around and see what he's talking about. And how he comes then to these sisters. He finally gets there. And Martha hears that Jesus has finally arrived. And that's where she goes out to him in the verses of our text. And she's got that question on her mind. Why, Lord? Why so long? They knew Jesus as the Messiah who was able to do miracles. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He had raised the dead already. They'd seen this over and over again. Even his enemies had to admit no one ever did as many miracles as Jesus of Nazareth did. So Martha had a real valid question. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. You hear the legacy in that? The fact is, they kept going to Jesus. And she's confessing her faith in Jesus' ability even there. That's what we do as the family of God. We just keep going to Jesus. No one else has the answers. Peter was right in his confession. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Where else shall we go? There is no other Savior. We come to you and we pray to you and we find relief, either a change in circumstances or the strength and patience to bear up, to keep looking to Christ, to be safe in his arms as our dear Lord and Savior. Lord, even now, Martha says, you'll get whatever you ask from God. All things as many, she says. The Greek is actually more explicit here. As many things that you ask, you'll get that. So Jesus throws this to her. He said, your brother will rise again. She gets that. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And she's right. This is something a lot of people don't realize. It's the Bible that reveals this to us, that there is a general resurrection when the last trumpet sounds, when Jesus comes again. If you doubt that he's going to come again, why would you doubt? He came the first time to suffer and die. You think he would not come again in his glory to judge the living and the dead, according to whether or not they believed in him? So there will be a general resurrection. The last trumpet will sound. Jesus had already said back in John chapter 5, a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. He points to their good works as evidence of faith, or their lack of good works as evidence of unbelief. He's not saying here that we're saved by our good works. He had just said earlier, again in John 5, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, he points to faith, will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. That's part of the legacy that we have as the family of God. And Paul picks up on that when he talks in Ephesians 2 about how you, he's talking to church people there, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We've got that old sinful nature. Even though we try to be patient, we're not always as patient as we want to be. Charlotte wasn't either. She had an old sinful nature. It's hard to put that down when your mind isn't all there. It's a struggle when it is. But you see, God looks at us in Jesus Christ and he forgives all that. He doesn't even see it. He's washed it away with the holy precious blood of Jesus. All he sees is Christ. Paul said, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but God made you alive while you were still dead. By grace you're saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That family legacy starts when the Lord, by his grace, giving us God-fearing parents who carry us to that word-powered water, where the dear Holy Spirit uses what Paul calls the washing of rebirth and renewal in his letter to Titus. He saved us not because of what we had done, but he saved us because of his mercy. He saved us by the washing of rebirth. That means born again. The washing of rebirth and renewal, which he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been saved by his grace, washed again, we might be heirs having the hope of everlasting life. What a family legacy. It's not just words. And you all got that spark. You all got that spark. And you know what comes from Jesus. It comes from the time when the Lord took you to that word-powered water, just like he did your dear mom and your dear dad, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and life comes to them through that promise of God. He said, you've crossed over from death to life, and your eternal life has already begun. That explains these strange words that Jesus says, that whoever believes in me will never die, and whoever lives and believes in me, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me even will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. He Because by faith in Jesus, you're living already. The eternal life has begun. And he's not just using sweet words when he says that we fall asleep in Jesus. We fall asleep in Jesus and we awake in his arms, and he says the last day will come when every body will be raised from the grave. Those who have faith and showed it by their works will be raised to live forever with the Lord in heaven, and those who were in unbelief and showed it by their lack of good works, he says they'll be changed in the opposite direction. That's why I can't stand to watch horror movies. It's too real. It's too much the way the Bible describes what it's like for those who are damned. I was in China a few years ago, and there was a young Chinese woman, interior decorator, same name as my middle daughter, Sarah. And Sarah was so happy to know Jesus as her Savior. She wore bright pink tennis shoes all over this huge city. You could pick her out through, you know, thousands. And she couldn't walk down the street without practically dancing wherever she went. Sarah was just happy. Happy to know Jesus as her Savior. But she was very worried. Worried about something you never had to worry about with your parents because of this legacy. Sarah's parents had not confessed faith in Jesus as their Savior. So they were in a Bible study. This was in 2010. And they were hearing the preacher, and Sarah was concerned. And so she made sure to ask the pastor right in front of her parents, what happens to people who die without faith in Jesus? And the pastor didn't lie. He told her what Jesus says. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And they heard it, and she kept praying. I just saw some pictures from this spring after her parents were baptized. And now it's not just Sarah who's beaming with joy. Her parents, too, have that washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle of God. Jesus said, I am. And John records that at least 23 times in John's gospel. In the Greek, it's ego I me, I am. He's laying claim, and the Jews got this, to being the eternal God, the great I am, who appeared to Moses at the burning bush in the desert. And Moses says, who shall I tell Pharaoh to let my people go? And who shall I tell the Israelites to send me to them? And the Lord says, tell them I am sent you. The great Yahweh, Jehovah, the Savior God, the God of free and faithful grace. And Jesus says, I am. He says, I am the resurrection. He doesn't say, I bring the resurrection or I give you the resurrection. It's not like our dear women of faith at New Life bring us lunch today. None of them can say, I am lunch. We bring lunch. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Because he raised himself from the dead. He is the life that can give life. And that's why he says, I am the resurrection and the life. We heard that before from chapter 14. I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But through him we come. Through him we have life. And if you stop and think about it, life is really the enjoyment of God's blessings, isn't it? There are so many well-to-do people in this world, people that have power, people that have fame, people that have riches beyond belief, and they are miserable. But to know Christ, to have the riches of everlasting life in him, and the forgiveness of sins through the blood that he shed, to know that you are guilt-free, to know the truth that he actually laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, those are awesome riches. That is life, that you can enjoy the blessings of God here on earth, whether you're living at your home or whether you're in hospice or whether you're finally home at last with Jesus, where that life goes on forever. Jesus had a question for her. Martha, do you believe this? Isn't that Jesus' question for all of us today? Do you believe this? It is no accident that you, I can say this singularly to every one of you here, it's no accident that you're in God's house today. He loves you. The awesome thing about God's love to me is not just that he promised a Savior to Adam and Eve when they first sinned. And not just that he kept on repeating that promise down through the ages in the prophets to make sure nobody forgot. And not just that he kept the promise when Jesus finally came and had to suffer and die. But what impresses me is that he died for all. It says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. He doesn't count anyone's sins against them. He wants them, everyone, to know. He's taken away your guilt. He's taken away your sin. He wants you to be guilt-free and to trust in him. Whether you've ever gone to church or not, it's not based on your works. It's all based on what Christ does and did and is still doing. Do you believe this? That's the Lord's desire. And since he died for all, he died for me, he died for you, he died for Charlotte, Gus, all the saints in glory to this day. You have a wonderful family legacy in prayer, a wonderful family legacy in faith, and it's a legacy that shows in good works. A lot of what I know about your dad, I know through the memories of your mom. And one of the things that she kept telling me was how morning and evening he got out those books, his devotion books. And I know he went to every Bible study he could while he was still healthy. It was just his way. That's why he had so many answers. But you know, hearing that, it made me go back and look at my own devotional life. And by the example of your father through the memories of your mother, my devotional life improved. And I think of your dad often when I'm doing my devotions in both the morning and the evening. Beautiful legacy. Belongs to the family of God. Praise the name of Jesus.